Good Friday morning, everybody. Welcome on in to today's BrightWaves Now Community Spotlight. I'm Kaylee Nix here with Mary O'Connell to talk all things cold chain. Mary, how are you on this fine Friday morning?
Oh, I'm doing quite well on this fine Friday. Just really ready for the world not to be covered in a sheet of pollen.
Yep, me too. I heavily agree with that one. Allergies running amok here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Hopefully we get it fixed sooner rather than later. Today we're talking running on ice. That is, of course, the coolest community in freight. And we are back on the topic of sustainability, specifically when it comes to packaging and shipping food. Talk to us about your guest today.
Yeah, so today we welcome back one of our favorite guests. It is Dr. Bob DiLoretto from Thermal Custom Packaging. And usually we have both doctors, but today we just have one of them. And I love talking to them. They have so much knowledge about this space. So we really kind of get into today the whole aspect of creating more sustainable, like, cold packaging. So whether that's, you know, when maybe when you get your meal kit delivery, you get those gel packs. Well, you know, those aren't, the plastic isn't recyclable, no matter how much we wish it could be. And the gel, I almost said goo, the gel inside of it isn't necessarily the least harmful alternative. There is usually some toxic materials in there. Like if you eat it, which no one should be eating or drinking the gel that comes in ice packs. So it's one of those where that's not necessarily the best alternative. And so it's a matter of finding strong alternatives that are no less harmful for the environment and for the people and are definitely much more reusable friendly.
I think about like those cold gel packs that you mentioned, if you get like frozen meal delivery kits or things like that, and then they just end up crowding up your freezer and then you have a billion of them. And then on the packaging, it's like, do not dispose of. And you're like, what the heck am I supposed to do with it? So what are some of those sustainable options that companies are working towards when it comes to these delivery alternatives? Are we talking about like using dry ice that eventually dissolves into the air? Are we talking about packing with like conventional cold materials, or what else are they working on?
So there is always the dry ice option, although it's not necessarily the best option, as you know, it does carry some carbon footprint with it. But one of the cool things that they have that they've kind of developed is more or less, I don't know if you remember, like back in the day, you probably got those like blue ice packs that you would put in your lunch to go to school. Well, take that, but kind of upgrade it. And so you have these larger ice packs that will keep things as cold as you want them, whether that's, you know, negative 40 degree or negative 20 degrees Celsius or whatever. Basically, if you have an ultra cold freezer, they have a solution that will get it as cold as it needs to be, and it can keep it for like 4 to 5 days. And there is that solution, and they have it, and it's literally just a block that you can freeze, and it's just a special saltwater solution. So if it breaks or if it leaks, you're just going to get some really salty water that hangs out with you, but it's nothing that is harmful to digest or necessarily harmful for the planet, because salt water typically is not that harmful. So they have this really cool solution. And then also the best part is that it lasts for pretty much ever. So especially if you're on a closed loop system, it makes so much sense. Yes, it's a little bit more expensive up front, but in the long term, it's much better. It's a much stronger, and it lasts infinitely longer than the single use gel packs or some of the other solutions that exist.
So we talk about closing that loop, and obviously from a shipper standpoint, that comes from making your materials and your offerings to your customers as sustainable as possible in their actual makeup. But what about it when it comes to offering returns for those items that can be reused? Have we started to see any implementation of like, say for like HelloFresh, right? The meal delivery kit, the ice packs that you get with that. Is there any type of system that has been put into place yet where the consumer can send those back and maybe almost like a bank kind of like a refund program for it?
So they haven't seen much of that on the food delivery and the consumer side. However, they've seen a lot of that type of adoption on the business side and the healthcare side. So a lot of hospital networks that may have, you know, hundreds of thousands of samples shipped a day or other stuff like that, they have a lot of adoption there because no matter where something goes, when it goes out, it comes back and they can just literally take it, put it back in the freezer and swap it out for something else. So much so that they actually said that they have a problem where the equipment doesn't necessarily fail. Someone will inadvertently take it home with them because they like how well it works, which has caused the hospital system to have to purchase more, which is an unfortunate side effect of having a really strong product that unfortunately finds itself walking home to not its original place. So, but no, they've definitely seen a lot of adoption on that, on those, on some of those closed, more closed loop systems that hospitals or other businesses have in that B2B situation. But unfortunately, we haven't seen it in the consumer area yet. However, I would love to see that. I would love to see, you know, if you have an Imperfect Foods or a HelloFresh or something like that, where, you know, you're going to be getting that delivery every week, every other week, or however frequently you get it. I would love to see it where, you know, it comes in maybe a reusable tote, you pack your cooling packs up in it, set it on your porch when they deliver the other one, then you go ahead and get, you can kind of turn that one back in. I would absolutely love to see that. And I think that consumers are more or less kind of trained and ready to work with that, because that's something that we talk about, where even now on the dry van side, if you order something and you need a replacement, you have to send back the other one, people are really are ready and willing to do that part. So I think people are ready. It's just a matter of someone has to make that jump and be the first one to get consumers to do it.
So Mary, we always talk about sustainability and the push towards that from kind of a desire of companies to do it and a consumer demand to do it. But I want to finish off talking about this from a regulatory standpoint. Are we looking at any incoming regulation that's going to force some of these food shippers to be more sustainable with their practices? Or is it kind of small potatoes for anyone in the regulatory space right now?
I think we're still a little early. I think we're still in, because in the grand scheme of things, food delivery and meal kit delivery is still very new. And it's something that everyone's still kind of working out, where I think the closest thing we've seen is that it's now on, you know, your Instacart, your DoorDash, your stuff like that, to prove that that food has stayed at its safe temperature. I think that's the closest we've gotten. But for the most part, your food delivery is more or less the wild, wild west. And there hasn't really been a lot of regulations on it. And I don't see any coming in the next few years. But maybe with the increase of, you know, reporting in the sustainability arena, we'll see it. But ultimately, though, I do think that we are still a ways off from regulations coming on kind of anything in this world.
It's going to be interesting to watch to see what eventually does come down the pipeline, if any. For the show today, where can people go to find that and to find your newsletter also?
Well, lucky for them, the newsletter and the show come out at 2:00 Eastern time. The show you can find right here on YouTube. Just make sure you subscribe and hit the notification bell for Freight Waves. And then the newsletter will be coming right to your inbox at 2 p.m. And if you haven't subscribed yet, you can go to freightwaves.com/runningonice and get that subscribed so you don't miss a single new edition.
There we go. Make sure that you head on over and do that. And Mary, while I've got you here, we got to talk a little bit about upcoming events. Future Supply Chain is here in just about a month and a half. Are you excited to see Ryan Peterson as one of our keynote speakers?
I am. I am very excited for the Future of Supply Chain, and I'm very excited to go to Atlanta and not just stop in the airport on the way to Chattanooga. But yes, it's going to be a great time. Also, if you subscribe to Running on Ice, there may or may not be a certain incentive for you to come to Future of Supply Chain, but you're going to have to subscribe to the email and check your emails Fridays too to see.
There you go. Look at that. The graphics look fun and it's going to be fascinating. So again, Atlanta, Georgia, easy place to travel to. Make sure that you get there, live.freightwaves.com, to buy those tickets and use that special surprise that comes with subscribing to Running on Ice or any of our newsletters for a little bit of a money saving. Mary, thanks for joining us this week. We will catch you next week for a check call and then next Friday for another edition of Running on Ice.
See you guys later.